This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cubs win.
Gordon Whittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs win.
Chicago Cubs. Yeah.
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Whittenmeyer.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We've got Danny Parkins kind enough to sit in this morning, and Gordon Whittenmeyer joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. How are you?
Got to love an off day, huh? It helps the pitching and it helps the beat writers. It's good help for everyone.
Yeah, help me for sure. We'll see about the team.
You won the off day.
So, Gordon, we spoke to Peter Gammons earlier in the program, and Danny has a theory that Joe is probably gone no matter what, even if they win the World Series. And he asked Peter about the idea that there is this philosophical difference between Joe and Theo, and here's what Peter Gammons had to say.
What main core philosophical differences do you think exist between Theo Epstein and Joe Maddon?
I think one is the moving around of players. I think sometimes to get on a long streak, you have to let your basic core players play every day. I think the preparation maybe was something that they at least tried to address together. And I think that you also see, I think, maybe a little bit of talk everything out. It's one of the things that I think Theo is really good at is getting people to speak their minds and all be in this, end up in the same place because they all have the freedom to say, I don't like this. I mean, I know from all his years, one thing is very clear to people who work for him is he wants people to say, I don't agree with you. He wants contrary opinion.
It's interesting, Gordon, because obviously Peter has a close relationship with Theo. And I find it fascinating, the idea of moving players around and the preparation are the issues. Do you see that? Do you agree with that?
Nope, not at all. I think that while I think that there might be some philosophical differences in that regard, and maybe some of them eventually will contribute to a decision that means Joe isn't there anymore at the end of the year. But that has also been one of their strengths. Some of the differences that they've got. Look, not only the moving around players, and I've said it from the beginning. Too bad. Player doesn't like it or whatever, too bad. They've had plenty of winning streaks. They've had more winning streaks than losing streaks with Maddon. And part of it is how he uses players. And part of it is not necessarily giving players the lineup 3 days in advance. I think that can be a weakness, and I think we already saw an example of how and why that can be a weakness. In Atlanta, when Zagunas was scheduled to make two starts and he was given – they all were. I mean, they were given the lineup. Not the lineup one through nine, but the lineup, you're going to be in the lineup, you're going to be playing this position before that series ever started. Game one of that series, which wound up being their third straight loss, which wound up being a 6-error, 8-0 loss, he set the tone for the whole thing. He was a deer in the headlights much of that game, and it might have been a great place to maybe say, okay, let's restart you here a little bit. Maybe you don't play that third game of the series like we have you scheduled, and then we'll pick it up again next time around. Instead, he'd already been told he's going to play those two games of the series, and now you're kind of stuck because now if you take him out, he's already got a shot to his confidence, a hit on that first game. Now you're going to say it's a vote of no faith. If you take him out of the lineup for that third game, he wouldn't have known it otherwise, but you've given him the lineup 3 days in advance. So that's a downside to changing the way Joe does things. And that's only one example. The other thing is this urgency stuff that we keep hearing about. One of the ways Joe's always managed is, like a lot of managers, he does it his own way, but almost every manager kind of takes a slower approach into the season in terms of shaking things out. Even if you think you know your personnel, there are certain position areas, bullpen's one of them, where you wait and see how it works and whether the roles are going to stand up the way you think they will a month, 6 weeks into the season. Then you start making your changes. Then by mid-season, you have kind of the team you want. And in Joe's case, by about end of July, 1st of August, you start hitting the accelerator. Now you get your regulars get fewer days off. You know, all your best players are playing the most. You use your starters and your relievers differently. We saw that his first season against the Giants in that August series, and they were the best team in baseball the last 2 months of the season. It works. It's a way that he does it. It's a way that his managing works. And you can't, I think they would be fools to come in and say, well, we don't like it that way. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to switch managers. I mean, be careful what you wish for, because you might find something that it perfectly aligns with your philosophy, and you wind up a 78-win ball club.
Would you bet on Joe Maddon, Gordon Whitmeyer, being the opening day manager of the Cubs next year?
Well, if it was my decision, I'd bet on him. At this point, I think it's probably a 50-50 proposition for two big reasons. We don't know what this team's going to look like at the end of the year, and consequently how they're going to view their window for the next 2 to 3 years. And if they view it without it being entirely an optimistic upside window, then they can retool a lot of things. And if you're retooling, then you look not at whether he's a good manager or not, not at whether you like him as your manager, but whether you're willing to pay anybody $6 million for a team that's going to retool for a couple of years. So those are the two factors.
We're closing in. It's still a ways away, another week before we'll see the minor league stint begin with Addison Russell, but that will eventually be a decision they have to make. Does he come back?
I think that decision's made.
Okay, and he's coming back. Is he the shortstop? What happens to the platoon, including Descalso?
Yeah, there is none then. He comes back as the shortstop. If anything, if he comes back, look, he looked on the baseball field, he looked terrific in spring training. If that's the case, then he slots right back in and he plays every day as usual. And if that's the case, then Javi's every day at second. Barring some switching around like we saw last year where Javi moves over to third, you get Bodie in a game, you get Descalzo in a game. So those guys become more bench players than platoon players, depending on what you do at third base and your outfield.
How much does Addison Russell need to hit? Like, when you say every day, you think he's a 6-day-a-week starter?
I think if he does, unless he's slumping, striking out a lot and slumping, yeah, he is. Absolutely. He'll be what he's always been. There's no reason to think he won't be healthier than he's been in recent years, just with kind of the downtime and being away from the major league grind of things. And again, as I said, and I don't know if it's, you know, strangely, weirdly, perversely, whatever, because of sort of a resolution to all this awful off the field stuff, and maybe even the therapy. I think that stuff hung on him like a cloud the last couple of years, and it affected his play. And again, in spring training, he just looked like a different hitter. He seemed to square up everything. There's a different sound off his bat. And if that's the way it looks when he comes back, he'll definitely be in there every day.
Okay, so we talk about who's going to come, who's going to break out of the slump, who's going to get better quicker. And obviously they're doing this, and they're, you know, one series away from being 500 if they can win it. What's going on with Bryant? Is he okay? Is he healthy? What's going on with Schwarber? Is that who he is? Anthony Rizzo, we always know he gets hot late. It's not an issue, but they're all an issue.
I think that's really interesting that you said, we know Anthony Rizzo, we know he's going to be fine. And I don't disagree with you. But how come nobody's saying that about Bryant?
I don't, because he consistently has been better, frankly.
But he's gone through slumps before like this for, you know, similar lengths of time even. And this being a slump isn't even as deep as Rizzo's. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think it's, you know, just the health question. I'm with you. I mean, when Bryant's healthy, he produces. When Bryant's healthy, he hits. I think the only question is there a chance, given that he didn't have surgery, that he's not as healthy as they're saying?
That's the only question. In my mind, that's the only question. And he insists that he is, and it's hard to believe that if they don't think he is, that he's playing every day like he is.
Agreed.
I have to believe that. Now, the other side of it physically, remember he came into camp and he said, I did so much work on that shoulder that my left shoulder is actually stronger than my right shoulder. He said something along those lines. Now, maybe a little bit of it was exaggeration, but the extreme strength work that he did in the off season, who knows what it's done to, you know, I'm just going to throw this at this on technical hitting mechanics or anything, but just sort of the equilibrium of his mechanics. Maybe there's some adjustment period that needs to be made. Now, that said, you know, he looked fine in spring training when it came to how he swung the bat and the results he was getting out of it. Looked okay in the season opener. So I suspect that this will sort itself out. And he'll break out on the other side of it. And if he doesn't, then I think we are back to that same what about the shoulder question. Not whether Chris Bryant can hit or not.
Are you projecting a quality start for one Kyle Hendricks this afternoon?
I'm not projecting anything. No. That doesn't mean he won't do it. I mean, he will at some point. We've seen this before. And the thing about him is, it's like you look at it and you say, well, Quintana's going great. Hamels is going great. And Darvish, by degrees, seems to be taking baby steps. What the hell's wrong with Kyle Hendricks? And how many times have we said that the last couple of years? And then at the end of the year, or even partway through asking the question, you look up, not right now, but you look up and you say, he's actually doing well, you know, and at the end of the year, he's got, you know, a top five ERA in baseball for his career. So he will figure it out. Maybe it'll be this start. His velocity's okay. If anything, the differential on some of his pitches isn't what he wants right now. And once that happens, then it's lights out. So that's one of those things that could just come on, you know, in a moment, just turn on a dime. So it could happen this time. But, you know, again, I'm not predicting anything. It'll happen in a moment when it happens. But
don't run to the book.
Yeah.
Gordon's
exactly.
Making no Gordon, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That's Gordon Whitmire covering the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.